Heavenly length was a term coined by Schumann to describe Schubert's great C major symphony, but it seems even more apt for the C major string quintet that Schubert finished in 1828, 2 months before he died. His only string quintet, four string quartet, with an extra cello, an instrumental combination pioneered by Luigi Boccherini, while Mozart and Beethoven preferred a second viola. In a program note on the string quintet for the Aldeburgh Festival in 1955, Benjamin Britten wrote about some of the qualities he found most remarkable in the work. Listening to it as the beauties unfold one after another, and the mood changes from light to darkness and back again to light, the overwhelming impression is of the wholeness of the music. Schubert's effortless spontaneity is not only the result of his rapid and instinctive writing, it's also the result of his miraculously mature understanding of form. The adagio is in the remote key of E major, transcendent and ethereal in its outer sections. Britten wrote of the slowly changing chords at the opening seeming to hang motionless in the air while flowing onwards as the first violin plays an expressive, slightly hesitant theme. The central section is a startling contrast. After serenity, suddenly the mood is racked with turmoil, and uneasy hints of that even lurk in the reprise of the opening material before stillness and peace are finally reached on the last E major chord. Peter Shepard Skavid suggests, "I have known four musicians, all greatly experienced in chamber music and not in the least inclined to sentimentality, who with strange unanimity express the feeling that if they were in their last hours to listen to some lovely strain, this would be the music of their selection. One of these was Alfredo Piatti, and another John Saunders, an accomplished quartet leader who is no longer with us. Upon his tomb in Norwood Cemetery in London are inscribed a few bars taken from the opening movement of the Schubert String Quintet in C major, intertwined with lines from Shakespeare's sonnet 18. So long as men can breathe or eyes can see, so long lives this, and this gives life to thee." Also, the extraordinarily moving quality of Schubert's music led both celebrated pianist Arthur Rubinstein and the esteemed author Thomas Mann to say they would choose this movement, the adagio of the quintet, to hear on their deathbeds. We'll have the rare chance to experience this remarkable string quintet by Franz Schubert as the Northeastern Pennsylvania Chamber Music Society opens its 2026-2027 season with performances this Friday in Williamsport and also Saturday in Wilkes-Barre. The guest artists include cellist Emilio Colon, whom we just heard, John Vida, violin, and Amy Iwazumi, viola, who are co-founders of the society, paid a visit to the WVIA studios to talk about the society and what's in store this weekend.
We wanted to invite some good friends to come play. So it started with an invitation for Emilio and Cara Colon, who are both cellists, to come and play with us. They've been here and played on a series before, but Emilio is a professor at the Indiana School of Music, and his wife, Kara, also teaches. And then that naturally led itself, well, we have to play the Schubert, because it's been quite some time since we performed that work. And so I actually know Kara from my undergrad. We both went to Duquesne together. So she's literally one of my oldest friends, actually. And then so she went to Indiana and she later met and married Emilio, and they started a festival in Puerto Rico that Amy and I have played on, you know, for, I don't know, about 10 years, is it, that we've been going down there. And that's where we also met Sophia Kim, who's our second violinist for the program. And so when Emilio and Kara decided that they were going to come play on our series, we said, well, let's definitely get Sophia, because we all know each other. We're all great friends, and the rest is history.
How about choosing the literature, though?
Well, the Schubert is a piece, you know, that I can talk about for hours probably and deep dive into, but it is such a substantial work. I mean, it, depending on if you decide to take the repeat or not in the first movement, it's anywhere between, you know, 45, 50 minutes, even approaching an hour, depending on your tempos too. So that is obviously a substantial work, and it's one half of the program. So the second half will be all of the Schubert, and then the first half we needed something shorter and lighter to balance that out with. So
we are starting with Felice Giardini.
Kara and Emilio.
Kara and Emilio. And it's a light, kind of fun piece, and we're pairing that with the Martinus Serenade, number 2, for two violins and viola. And that's also a very lighthearted piece.
With neoclassical, but the Martinus is a total of 7 minutes long. It's very short, 3 movements. It's quick. And the Giardini is also quite short, fun, audience-friendly.
And I think you do need to ease into the Schubert, because we know that that is a work that is, could you say, monumental.
Absolutely. And I was thinking about what you might ask me as we were coming into this, and I was prepping, you know, I tell my students about the concerts and I invite them to come, and hopefully most of them will be there. But one of my students asked me last week, I was talking about the Schubert and how it's a great monumental piece, and they asked me why. And I was surprised that I kind of hesitated, and it took me a minute to really think about that. Some great pieces, you know, of say Beethoven, it's kind of obvious why it's a great monumental work. With the Schubert, I had to actually kind of think about it, and my reaction was somewhat, you know, I'll get back to you on that.
What's interesting to me always when looking at Schubert's output, the fact that he was so good at the song form and could convey so much in such a relatively short time and touch us. And I wonder, what are some of the important ways in to feel the overall rhythm of the piece? Because obviously you're going to take us through. How do you begin just picking up the score and playing through? What's a good way to get into a piece like this?
That's a huge question, I gotta say. And I love actually talking about practicing and preparation, especially with my students. It's kind of a recent fascination actually of mine about how the mind works and actually practicing in general. But for something like this, I took this summer kind of off from playing, and I did a lot of practicing without my violin before even, you know, touching the fingerboard. You know, I was going through thinking about my fingerings, my bowings, all of that. And just, I was saying to Amy that, talking about the second movement of the Schubert, but maybe this is also applies to the work in general. For those Lord of the Rings fans out there, I think of this piece as like a Treebeard. You know, it takes a long time for him to say what he needs to say, but once it's over, it's incredibly profound, and it was well worth the wait.
And what about the Schubert that we know from the Lieder, the sense of melody, the sense of being able to take Die Forella and themes and variations and make it something that we're going out the door humming? What is the melodic character of Schubert writing in this piece?
You know, going back to my lack of an answer to my student, you know, in this piece, Schubert's melodies, for example, the very opening one starts off in C major, and you think it's going to be this nice, beautiful, light statement. And then very quickly in the third measure, he changes the harmony and turns dark and dramatic. And then right after that, it turns back into major, and it's quite lovely from then on out. And so like his melodies, it's hard to pinpoint a specific emotion or a character to tie to it, right? It's hard to verbalize that. And like the second movement, it's often called, you know, sublime is one of the words that's used in reference to it. And it's certainly that. But I think depending on your own mood and state of being, it might be something else. And then the middle section, you're talking about the anguish.
Stormy.
Stormy, yeah. Yeah, and he completely changes that and then comes back to that, again, sublime character in the third section.
But you, as musicians, can't say, everyone talks about this movement as being sublime and we know that this is a monumental work and therefore we're going to create a sublime experience for our listeners. You just have to take what Schubert has put there and do what you do, right?
Yes and no. So, and actually that's a really interesting question and something I thought a lot about. And in the first movement in particular, the B theme, and maybe that's something we can demonstrate for you too. At first it's stated with the two cellos, but then it's later with the two violins. But the melody is in the top voice. And when you play it on its own, it's fine. You know, it's nice enough. And then if you play it with the coupling of the second violin, again, it's quite lovely, right? And if you play exactly what is on the page, it's, like I said, very nice. However, to make it sublime or to kind of ascend even further, to make it like truly spectacular and beautiful, you have to do a little bit more than what's on the page. And that's, you know, where the interpretation and the artistry comes in. And it's one of those pieces you're always searching for perfection. But with Schubert, it's so hard that you never get it.
When you're ready to show us.
So I thought to illustrate this, maybe I would just play the melody, the first violin part on its own, and then show you how he develops it. So that's the first violin part, and then Schubert couples that with the second violin playing. So, like I said, just kind of play what's on the page. It's great melody. But to make it, raise it to that sublime, you have to do a little bit something. And for me, it's how I treat the vibrato at the end of that and change the color. And, you know, Schubert doesn't say anything to the effect of change the color, but, you know, as a interpreter, you have to make those decisions.
So succinct, but you really make the point. And boy, don't we feel something. I mean, really just from those few moments.
And this is the thing about Schubert, you were right on, you know, what he can do with the voice and in song is, you know, directly seen in his chamber works. And he writes these melodies. And like I said, you know, they're very simple, but the way he adds those little layers to them, it makes you want to cry, like in those moments.
Is there a sense of a cyclic nature? Do things come back or manifest along the way? And then in the culmination of the final movement, things come to fruition?
I mean, it's not cyclical, I think, in the sense like, you know, the classic example, I guess, is the Franck Sonata, where the literal melodies come back. There's elements, for sure, I think, that permeate the work, but it is maybe four distinct chapters. However, the way that he ends the entire piece does actually come from the beginning, right? In the beginning, like we talked about before, he has this very beautiful melody, but then after that, he has this ta-da. And it's a very simple thing that he somewhat develops in there, but the very last movement, the last note, or two notes really, of the entire piece is a ta-da.
A closing gesture that we'll live with. We're going to hear this, and you used the word sublime. We're going to have a real deep human experience. There's something there that gets down to the soul level, isn't there?
Yeah, and it's one of, like, this is an example. I think about this a lot. Like, I've been playing the violin for 41, 42 years. And sometimes, you know, I think, oh, do I want to keep doing this? What am I doing? But playing a piece like this just kind of confirms, you know, what I've been working towards my whole life, quite frankly, and why I still do it. Because as you said, it's a profound experience for the performer, but also for the listener.
I mean, this summer when we did the library concerts, we had little spaces in the program so that they can draw or write what they're feeling about each piece. And if you don't have the story fed to you, you have to think about what the music is conjuring, right? It could be an image, it could be very abstract, it could just be a feeling, but it conjures up something intangible, and that's, I think, what the power of music is.
Yeah, and kind of circling back again to what we were talking about, you know, this piece, depending on who you are, where you are in your life, you know, in that day, in that moment, it could mean something completely different than what I feel or what you feel. So, and that's part of the beauty. And again, going back to why I couldn't answer my student, why it's such a profound work. But I think that's part of it, and that ambiguity of it.
And we always, I think, need reminders about our capacity to feel and experience life.
You know, I'm a tech guy. I like technology. I think it's kind of cool. But I don't think AI is going to be able to replace what we do anytime soon, if ever.
The sublime adagio. It's from the Schubert String Quintet in C major, Deutschlisting 956. And we'll have a chance to hear the work in its entirety this weekend. We spoke today with violinist John Vida and Amy Iwazumi, violist, co-founders of the Northeastern Pennsylvania Chamber Music Society. And they and their friends will perform this work, as well as three pieces for two cellos by Felice Giardini and a serenade number 2 by Boleslav Martinu at the McIver Hall Music Center. And that's on the campus of Lycoming College in Williamsport. It will be this Friday, September 11th at 7 o'clock. And then again, Saturday, September 12th at 7 at the Circle Center for the Arts, 130 South Franklin Street Rear in Wilkes-Barre. Their guests featuring Emilio Colon, cello, Cara Elise Colon, cello, and Sophia Kim, violin. That's Friday, September 11th at 7 in the Music Center in McIver Hall on the campus of Lycoming College, 304 East 4th Street in Williamsport, and also Saturday, September 12th at 7 at the Circle Center for the Arts, 130 South Franklin Street Rear in Wilkes-Barre. It's in the middle of the block between South Franklin and South Main Street. And you can see the building. It is a circle. It is constructed as a circle, and you can't miss it. So that's Giardini, Martinu, and this remarkable work, the Schubert String Quintet in C major, Deutschlisting 956. And that is a presentation of the Northeastern Pennsylvania Chamber Music Society. For all the details, nepacms.org. NEPACMS.org.